So if I can...
I love the new theme. Is that, no, I'm just trying something new out.
It is. It's
Mutual of Omaha.
There you go.
It's National Geographic, isn't it?
Is it?
Whatever it is, it sounds nice.
I think it is. It was either that or Wild Kingdom. I couldn't remember.
Something like that.
Something like... Either way,
it's animals. That old shit.
Animals. So if I get this edited and out quickly, Sausage Fest is still coming. We still need money. We're still like $500 short.
How much?
Five. Yeah. There are a few large donors who have dropped out of the picture. So it happens.
It does happen.
And there are people who normally donate when they're able to come. And they're not coming this year because they...
Reasons.
They have lives.
Boo!
I know, right?
Boo to you people.
I'm dubious.
Be like a theater kid, donate every second of your life to this one thing. Please.
That's what I've done.
I know you have. I'm asking the other people to.
I don't need their lives. I need their money. Right now.
My donation.
Hey, careful. You're starting to sound like Eve.
I want your money. Further. Not your life. Yeah. Yep. My donation will be further in the month.
Oh. They can donate their lives on October 5th. Before that, I need money.
And then oh, your night, sacrifice will be.
And then on that night, I'll take their money also. Pre-money, drinking money.
Woo! For boobs.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Lena.
This is Kayla.
This is Holden.
And we're the Backseat Producers.
Hi.
Hi.
You're loud.
I know I am. I'll back up.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Shut up, Holden.
I'm sorry.
He's just loud.
Yeah.
He's always loud.
Yeah. His voice carries.
Theater kid trained me.
You were loud before that.
Well, I think
they just... Yeah. That's true. So I'm not sure when we're going to record again, just because of Archon and stuff before it, and then
after it,
vacation after it. So it might be birthdays, a little while.
Anniversaries. Yeah.
Might be a little while before there's another episode. Yeah. But I wouldn't mind seeing Ad Astra.
Mm. Neither would I.
Which is another Brad Pitt movie. So we keep following that theme.
And
just came out.
Okay, I have seen this, but I know nothing about it. So
you were amazed?
Brad Pitt is still doing things.
Lots of things.
That's wild. Good for him.
Like,
are we going to get into a he's old thing and then I'm just going to get real?
I just feel like I didn't hear from him for a long time and then now he's...
Yeah, I feel like he dropped off the map a little bit after World War Z.
I think he was
for me.
Inglourious Basterds around that time.
But that was like...
It's been a few years.
Yeah, like 10.
I don't know. I've been doing this podcast for a million years.
Yeah. So it all blends.
Yeah.
It's like the elves.
All those movies have come out since the podcast. So
they blend together.
All that time is.
Yeah, it's weird because I listened to a podcast called I Saw That Years Ago. And the premise of it is these two guys, and they're British, and they're hilarious. They take a movie they haven't seen in a number of years. I think their span is like 10 years. I think it's about 10 years. Anything older than that is fair game. They've done a lot of stuff from when they were kids, and they're about my age. So like the nostalgia of the movies they pick are I'm like right in their sweet spot. But they talk about the movie and what they remember about the movie. Then they go watch it.
That's a really good idea.
Then they come back and review what they just watched. It's really good. What's really weird is they've actually, I think they either have done or were talking about doing a movie that we did on the podcast that was contemporary. Uh-huh. It like had come out that week.
Oh, so they were so like...
And they're now going back and talking about it as if it's... All this time ago, we saw that movie. It's like, oh, Jesus.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
10 years.
Yeah.
More than 10 years.
Yeah.
That's a really good premise because it's like,
the first review, I don't know, right? It's the things that like really stick in your memory.
Yeah.
About a movie.
Well, and what's really funny is like they'll talk about movies that they may have only seen on like late night TV when they were 12 years old.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah. So it's like who you were wrong when you watched it, like how much you have changed as a person, the world has changed, and then how much of the movie like sticks in your mind. Like, yeah, that's really interesting.
What's really funny is when they just completely misremember, like that is not even the movie I was thinking of.
That's awesome.
That's, it's really good. That's good. I really like it.
Holden, he's done 10 movies since World War Z as an actor.
Mm. As an actor.
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 What, and were lesbian.
What were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I watched the other night? That was surprisingly good.
I'm speaking.
The Between Two Ferns. I thought you were looking something up, so I was doing
well,
like
that's okay. That is fun. Mm. I like that. 12 Years a Slave, The Counselor, Fury. The
Who
audition.
Was seen 12 Years a Slave? Oh, wait, I didn't say that movie.
The Audition, movie. By the Sea, The Big Short, Voyage of Time, Allied, War Machine, Deadpool 2, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Ad Astra.
We all went.
Who?
Deadpool one are you 2.
Wait, was he one of the superheroes who joined the team?
He was Vanisher, according to this list.
Oh my god.
I've not seen Deadpool 2, so I don't know.
Oh no.
Apparently you can find Deadpool 2 now.
Oh my god, you do.
I haven't
you
seen
do.
It.
You
do.
You need to watch
Have
Deadpool
you seen the
2.
First one?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
There's like a 2-ish year span where I saw almost nothing. And so many good movies fell into that.
I don't think I've seen the majority of the movies you just listed.
I have not heard of the majority of the movies that you've listed.
The Big Short. We did that.
You did that, but I don't know if I saw
it. What was that about? Big Short.
It's about the collapse of the housing market.
I may have seen it, but it's...
Yeah. Okay.
It just becomes a blur, so I don't
know. I'll wait for U.S. history to learn about that.
It was more recent than you'll ever get in U.S. history. You're more likely to actually get it, learn about it in an economics class than in U.S. history.
All right.
Yeah.
Because it's contemporary. It's it happened since you've been alive.
We're like definitely not getting old. Into that.
The bubble.
The bubble burst. Yeah. Yeah. You won't get into it in history. Bubble
boy. The bubble boy.
That comes out Arkham Weekend, by the way.
What does?
The new season?
The new season. Bubble boy.
Bubble boy. Bubble boy.
Like bubble
oh, that's right! Oh!
What am I not knowing?
That's Big Mouth season. That's from Big Mouth season, too.
The SoundCloud song. Bubble boy. Bubble boy. Oh, but yeah, I saw the
Between Two Ferns
movie.
I'm not
going to
be there for it.
And it was surprisingly good.
Was it? I've not watched any of the Between Two Ferns.
I haven't really
stuff.
Either. Like I've seen a little bit here and there. I really like Zach Galifianakis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a movie with teeth, you know? Like there's no meat to it.
That's a movie? I thought it was.
they just put out a movie. It's on Netflix.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
It's on Netflix. But it was like okay. I didn't regret spending my time watching it.
I can see that.
I really need
nothing
to...
that we could do on the podcast, like by any means. But
I need to get Amazon Prime going because there's so much I need to watch.
The Boys.
Yes, definitely. Want to see Fleabag?
We'll get around to that.
Well, I saw the.
Got a lot of good Emmy buzz.
Well, she won.
Yeah.
And I watched. Now I can't remember the name of it. The one that was on Netflix beforehand. Yeah. I can't.
All right. So while you're looking that up, tonight we're talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
The 8th Tarantino movie?
9th.
Was it 9th?
It was 9th.
Yeah, because he said he's only got 10 movies in him. He said he thinks he's only got 10 movies in him.
If he were to stop at 9, I'd be okay with that.
He says that, but his...
well, no, not in a bad way.
But his
not
next movie,
way.
His next movie is going to be Star Trek.
What?
Yeah.
What?
He's making a Star Trek movie.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I know.
But he's not counting that one.
I was going to say, I wonder if he means like original
That's a freebie.
Property. Like
his own thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did read that he was calling Once Upon a Time in Hollywood like his magnum opus.
No,
really?
Yeah. What? No, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said no.
I said, oh,
so we're going to do the, are we officially starting?
Sure.
Lena was looking something up, did you?
Oh, Crashing on Netflix, which is what Phoebe Waller-Bridge's did before Fleabag.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think it's 2 seasons. It's a real quick binge and damn, it's funny.
Okay. So I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent here.
Is it about the movie?
Yes.
Right, no.
Wait.
No.
There's a formula.
There's a formula here we have to do. First, we do the high-level overview of the movie. Just high-level. What did you think of the movie?
Okay.
A couple of sentences.
I thought it was a beautifully cinemagraphed. Cinematographed? Is that...
Beautifully shot movie.
Yes. Beautifully shot movie.
Cinematography was great.
Yes.
All right. Not to put words in your mouth, but I'm just translating. No,
you're translating my tiredness through it. So I thought all the acting was really great. There were some points of the story that just confused me.
You're saying too much.
We'll get into that. We'll get into it later.
I really liked it, yes.
Good. Lena, what'd you think?
I really liked it. I am very happy that I knew nothing going into it.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow, it was good.
I'm in the same boat. I knew nothing. I didn't know it was a Tarantino movie.
I forgot.
All I knew that Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio were in it.
I didn't even know Brad Pitt was in it.
Just I really nothing. Liked it. And I agree. I really liked that I knew nothing about it.
So I knew it was a Tarantino movie. Mm-hmm. I knew those two guys were in it. I knew that based on the period that it was set in, that it was going to have that the Manson family was tangential, at least tangential to the story, because they showed in one of the trailers, they showed Charlie Manson and they mentioned Charlie.
I've seen no trailers, so
yeah, none.
And I saw a clip.
Charlie's gonna love you.
Yeah, and I saw a clip that showed Bruce Lee, but that's it. Just a brief clip.
All I knew, DiCaprio was in it. Period. End of sentence. And I knew just from reading the Bruce Lee kerfuffle.
Well, and I knew that
ooh, kerfuffle.
I knew that.
I'm interested in that word.
DiCaprio was the actor, and Brad Pitt was his stunt double. I knew that from seeing, I think, one or two trailers. It got enough of that story.
So I'm kind of glad I didn't see the trailers because
me too.
I enjoyed that moment when those two moments when I was like, oh.
Yeah,
and
me
then
too.
Later,
I was so
I was
excited.
Like, what the? What?
Because I went like this.
I loved those moments.
I was watching the movie. I'm like, this is pretty good. And then like the girls are picking through the trash and I'm like, so I've done a ton of research on the Manson murders. We've probably covered this before. Like, this was a huge thing I researched in high school.
This is going to make this a whole lot funnier.
Everyone should.
This is the setup.
Okay.
The punchline's coming.
Okay. So the girls are picking through the trash and I'm like, they've got like a Manson family vibe about them. And then like, it's a couple scenes later. I've already forgotten about it. They pull up to Cielo Drive and I'm like, and I was like, okay, no.
I think by that point, we'd already met Sharon Tate, though, right?
Indeed.
But they hadn't shown
Sharon Tate.
Yeah, they've shown her, but they hadn't introduced her. Yeah. She was just this girl,
Yeah, in the first scene.
And see, I knew she was Sharon Tate.
It took me a second. And the very first time when he was talking about Roman Polanski living next door.
And they pull up to Cielo Drive, and I say,
the
neighbors pull up, and I say, if they say Polanski, this movie just broke wide open for me. And that's the next thing that came out of his mouth. I was like,
yep. Oh. It took me another couple minutes because I said Polanski and I'm like, fine, whatever. And I didn't remember the address. But then when he and Sharon were leaving the next day, I was just like, blonde.
Hey, Sharon Tate. Where is this movie going? Oh, my God. Well, by that point, they had already put the date up on the screen, too.
Yeah, and I didn't pay attention.
It was February 8th, 1969.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was paying very close attention.
Well, I was just like, you know, 1969, like, that's a comment, you know, it's the summer of love, like, under the summer of love, so I'm just like, okay, whatever.
And with the 2 hours and 40 minutes.
I was so excited. I was so excited.
Now, we need to hold and talk for a minute.
Okay.
Punchline. Here we come.
All right, so we'll come back to the movie, but the movie ends and we walk out of the theater. And your first comment is,
what happened? There was no point to that movie.
You have to understand, this movie exists only in context.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. You don't understand the context of that last couple of scenes. And,
exactly. Oh, you're totally right. You're totally right, yeah.
No idea what was going on.
Poor little butterfly. Oh. So
let me,
the movie literally let me explain. Is nothing.
I was
let me
without
explain.
Cultural and historical, I'm like.
Yeah.
He walks out and he's like, I don't understand what I just watched.
Of course you don't.
I thought it was beautifully shot, beautifully acted. Everything was great. But there was no story.
There's no plot to this movie. I don't understand. There's no ending. There's no point. There's
Let
no story.
Let me tell my own story, please. So we get to that point. And by then, before we had walked into the theater, I had said, oh yeah, I know what the Manson murders are. And in my head, here's what I thought they were.
What did you describe to us as you left when we said,
I described,
what are the Manson murders?
I described it was, there was a guy, he was nerdy looking, he had glasses, he had glasses, his face was skinny because I watched a documentary with mom about it, he had scruff, he had long hippie hair, he started a religious cult. He got a bunch of girls with him. He made them think that he was the messenger of God, forced them to get pregnant with his kids. Then he got them all into, they moved off into some secluded area. Then something happened, and then they all died together at the same time.
So
that's what I.
No.
Let me talk.
I'm explaining what we realized after he said this. So somebody's mixing up
Jonestown,
David Koresh,
yeah,
Jonestown, and the Manson murders.
Yeah,
all three.
Is David Koresh Children of God?
He was Waco, Texas, wasn't he?
Was, yeah, he was Waco. Waco.
Yep. that's so like,
and
that's so beautiful. Like in a way. Because why would you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I remember Waco. Like, yeah. I remember watching it every day. It's like, oh, are they still there? Yep, they're still there. Okay. I mean, it's just
was
like.
Was that the early 90s or like late 80s or?
That would have been, no, not 80s. 90s.
Was it 90s?
I don't think
I
it was
think
80s.
It was 80s.
I remember Jonestown very well. I remember sitting in my kitchen.
I was very little in Jonestown.
Remember sitting in my kitchen watching it on TV. And I found out later that Jonestown happened the same day that Harvey Milk was murdered. So
oh,
I never,
wow.
I never knew the milk, the whole Harvey Milk thing until much later.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we get home.
Jonestown was 78.
Yep.
We finally learn that I've mixed everything up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I...
But in the sweetest way.
I've heard of the Manson murders. After they described them, what really happened that night, what was supposed to happen that night, it made a lot more sense because I've heard about that before. Because that movie just made so much
it
more sense.
It probably would have confused you so much had I been there with you. Because I was in tears at the end. Also, the, whatever music they played in that final scene, like, just crushed my heart.
Which one?
Oh, it was,
kind of the overhead when he's, when he meets, Sharon.
Oh, when they're standing
whatever,
in the driveway?
Yeah, whatever that music was.
Yeah,
plus,
that was, like, an incredibly,
yes!
Like, because when you, when
I
you realized.
I tear.
He freaked out.
Why?
Like. Because it was creepy as hell.
But it's like,
no,
if it was not heart, it
no,
was
No, because I didn't think the movie. I had
you
heard
didn't
it
think
was
the
a
movie
th-
was over.
I had
oh,
heard it was
okay.
a 3 hour long movie.
If you didn't know.
It was
know,
only 9 o'clock. I had looked at my phone to see what time it was because I had homework to do when I got home. He knows.
Yeah. Yeah, we were up till midnight doing homework.
Uh-huh. So I look at my phone. I've been told it's a 3 hour movie. We got in at 6:15. Movie started around 6:30. 3 hours. 9 o'clock is not 3 hours. So They're walking up the driveway. That music starts to play, and I'm like, something's going down. Something's about to happen. They just had this badass fight. Something's about to happen. Pan up, and the movie ends. And I'm just like,
what? Yeah, if you have no, if you don't have the context, that doesn't feel like an ending.
No.
Yeah. But with 2 hours the context, of what the it was hell? A very, like, emotional
oh,
ending for me.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because it's like, this movie's like, what would you describe it as? Like, not a revenge fantasy, but like a...
That explains.
Well, think about the title, Once Upon a Time.
Well, yeah, but it's yeah, it's like a, then, like a, what is it, what would you call that? Like a revisionist sort of like,
Hollywood, no, historical fiction.
No,
it was definitely historical fiction because it didn't happen.
But altered because historical
fiction. It's like an alternate
timeline.
And if you think about it, these characters that not Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio are playing, but, you know, Sharon Tate and Roman and all the people standing in that driveway, they're dead. Like, in the real world, like, their story is...
Roman's not, but that puts an interesting...
Well, he wasn't there in the driveway.
Right, he was in Europe.
Yeah.
But
like, their real story is a tragedy.
Well, that wasn't Roman.
So then, like, this...
Huh?
Yeah, that's what we're
saying.
No,
that was Jay Sebring in the driveway.
That's what we said.
No, yeah.
Like, what would you... There's, like, a very specific, like, this...
You have
this
a,
bittersweet, like...
Yeah.
Like, emotion.
What could have been?
Yeah.
Catharsis?
No.
No.
No, it's...
There was a...
When
like
you kind of get
like
into
a
that...
melancholy about...
Yeah. Yeah. You know, lives that were cut down way too soon.
Well, and Julie
mindlessly,
pointed out...
Just mindlessly.
Yeah. And Julie pointed
that
out...
That explains the vigorous violence at the end.
Yeah,
that,
oh, yeah.
Like I was,
yeah.
Like, I was
also,
like, oh my
that's
god,
Tarantino.
Well, that's Tarantino.
Yeah, but also yeah, that's Tarantino. Another thing. Like, if you don't understand, like
I've heard the, about Tarantino and his use of
the
violence.
Rage and like pain, like behind this, that scene seems
and
it's like just then, one to a thousand.
My side
especially
thing,
especially when
was,
he's tripping on acid, he's still able to do that. I was like, huh?
Okay, quit talking over people.
Sorry,
because.
But also, the tripping on acid thing isn't...
You can't hear it.
Okay.
The tripping on acid thing is believable. But, like, the point... Like, there's a lot of cartoonish violence. The point where it becomes absolutely cartoonish is when DiCaprio comes out with a flamethrower. There's no reason for that. The only reason... Hey, stop. You're doing that right next to the microphone, and that is obnoxious. Like, that cartoonish violence, like... The only way that makes sense is the revenge part of it.
Yeah.
That you don't get from the movie. You get that from our, like, shared history.
Yes.
Right. So what was really funny was when Brad Pitt comes back to the house to work on the roof,
mm-hmm.
and he goes into that tool shed, I bumped Julie. I was like, there's the flamethrower! It was right there! They seated it right there. It was so great. It was Chekhov's flamethrower.
It's just so like,
man, that was so. That was great.
Love that you brought that up. Like, I love that because you're so right. That adds a completely different layer to it that I didn't even.
It's interesting that the movie doesn't exist without the context of the period.
Yeah,
it just doesn't.
Yeah,
there's nothing there. Without it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's an interesting story going on. It's a slice of life of these two guys. But it's not... It is not the same story.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah.
Without that historical context, the violence at the end is just outlandish and weird.
I didn't close my eyes, but I was kind of... I was wincing.
Oh, yeah. I was,
And
too.
Then completely, I'm like, if something happens to that dog, I'm leaving. I don't care what the hell happens in this movie. Something happens to the dog, I'm gonna be on the car.
Can I tell you how I thought the movie was gonna end? Okay. So he trips on acid with the cigarette and he leaves with the dog.
Oh.
What I thought was gonna happen was there was gonna be this slice of life thing, and at this point, our characters had gone back to square one. They had started where Stuntman was more or less out of a job. The actor was in a weird place in his career where he didn't know if he would be if he was going to work again, and or if he was going to. And so I thought, what else is there to happen? And he walks out, and I remember, oh, Rick is still awake and very, very drunk. And he didn't see Cliff leave. So if he thinks Cliff left and he gets somehow angry about this and he's drunk, I don't know, and he gets the car and he leaves, every time they pulled out of that drive, out of that road, they made a deliberate shot of how the car comes out of the road, swinging out of it, full speed, just tearing down the road. What I thought was going to happen was Cliff and the dog were going to be crossing the street or something. Rick comes barreling down the road drunk and hits them both.
That would have sucked.
That would have sucked. But also, that was not never on my radar because I knew what was. I knew where we were going with it eventually.
I thought it was a character study.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's for what you knew. That's a perfectly reasonable ending for that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Like, especially, I thought that ending would have been so much worse. I thought the dog was dead for sure.
I love that dog.
He's a good dog.
Yeah.
Good dog.
He's a good boy.
I loved
her. Good girl.
Oh, good girl.
Good girl, good girl. I loved the dog food, too. It's like Wolf's something.
Wolf's Bane, I think it was.
No. What was it like? Tastes of...
But the flavors
Tastes of rat. Or rat tastes of...
and raccoon.
Yes.
Raccoon flavored and rat flavored. I was like, Jesus.
I love when Brad Pitt tried it.
Yeah. Oh, we had a lady in our theater who... Toward the end of the movie, Wolf's tooth, that's right. She got really loud and started talking back to the screen.
But it was
fun. I hope he doesn't taste that. Oh!
And then,
calm down.
In the fight, if something happens to that dog...
Oh, yeah. I said that to... I was, like, nudging Gretchen violently. I'm like, if something happens to that dog...
Julie pointed out that... because... She's watched a lot of the documentaries and everything about it. She said, oh my God, that's the outfit Sharon Tate was dead in. Mm-hmm. And it was the jersey. Yeah. She's like, that's what she was wearing when they found their bodies. Yeah. Yeah. So like they went back and got all of that.
When Brad Pitt asked Tex, he's like, he was trying to remember his name.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know you. And then he said, I'm the devil. I've come to do the devil's work.
Right.
That is what he said.
Yeah. That's a line.
In the murders. That is what he said. Yeah. I was like, in that moment, I'm like,
he's the devil and come to do some devil shit.
this movie made me remember how fucking good of an actor Leonardo DiCaprio is.
Both of them are amazing.
But I'm saying, in those scenes where he's acting like as the villain in that movie, like, holy shit. Like, Leonardo DiCaprio is like...
Not only that, but to go from acting as the villain to that little girl coming up to him and saying, that's the best thing acting I've ever seen. And the way
she was awesome. I love her. Oh my God, great. Her.
She's
what
great.
Was,
she,
yeah.
She's great. She's in
American Housewife.
American Housewife.
Her name is Anna Catt. She is the best character on that show.
Okay. She plays a child on the spectrum.
Oh.
And she's fantastic on the show. Mm-hmm. but yeah, when she comes up to him and says, that was the best acting I've ever seen. Like his emotional release at the end of that, to go from that all the way through that whole scene is just like,
yeah,
he's honestly, so good.
I've never personally understood the whole like heartthrob thing, but I remember way back from What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I remember when he first
little Bobby Leo.
I remember when he first started off on Growing Pains, which is that was when the show was on its downswing. Yep. I'm like, oh God, this is the stupidest thing. And then I did see What's Eating Gilbert Grape. I'm like, this kid's got some chops.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I saw him in that I was really impressed by him in was Man in the Iron Mask.
Didn't see it.
Where he played two roles.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio was my first celebrity crush.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
I can see that.
I saw him in Titanic and I was enamored.
Well, yeah.
I was also a very small child.
Exam.
That's all right.
He was in Romeo plus Juliet, which I think is an amazing movie still.
I can't stand Claire Danes, but I really like that movie.
Is she Juliet?
Yeah. I don't.
That's fair.
I'm not Claire. I'm not crazy about
Claire. Never.
Is she doesn't the add one where it's like modern day?
Yeah.
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 With John Leguizamo and...
It's so cheesy.
Well, this child...
To be
fair, how long is a couple minutes? I think a couple minutes is run out holding.
Okay. to be fair, the only time I watched it was about the first 45 minutes in my Litton skills class while my teacher was actively rambling on how bad this movie was.
It's not a bad movie.
It really isn't.
It's a modern take on a Shakespeare play. Romeo and Juliet of all the Shakespeare plays.
Lines were the same,
about
though.
Corny, like, if we're talking about Shakespeare, let's just... But that's the beauty of it. Like, it's
Romeo
a modern
Juliet
setting
is,
with,
Romeo
like, the
Romeo and
same...
Juliet's a shitty story.
Yeah, it is.
It's horrible.
Yep. It really is.
I love the portrayal of Mercutio. I can't remember the actor.
That was,
Is he the drag queen?
Wasn't that John Leguizamo?
He does drag, but he's not.
I thought it was
John Leguizamo is Tybalt.
Oh, that's right.
Shit. He is amazing in that movie.
He is.
I think he's good in almost anything I've ever seen.
1996.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, cast.
Again, small child.
I was a small child. But I like that movie still to this day.
Oh, that's right. Harold Perrineau. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mercutio is my favorite character in Romeo and Juliet, and his portrayal of Mercutio is my favorite by far.
He's really good in Oz.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Who is he?
Poet.
But both of those
You've
movies...
never seen Oz.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the like, 2013 film with James Franco.
No.
And, like, no. Yeah, okay.
Oh, that was a piece
no,
of
it's a...
Crap.
Yeah, I was like, what?
But both Romeo and Juliet and Titanic, they're not, like, good... pieces of Leonardo DiCaprio's like resume. Like if you think movies that show his like incredibly good acting skills.
He is incredible in Django Unchained.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Isn't that I remember when he said the N-word.
The Departed.
Like,
don't forget the Departed.
Isn't that the movie where he bangs the table and actually starts bleeding on set, but he keeps going?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was not scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's
Yeah,
and his performance in this all around is just really good. Like, it's super vulnerable, but also playing a tough
really
guy.
Is. Yeah.
His stutter was brilliant. I love that choice.
I did, too.
The what?
Who?
His stutter. He had a stutter.
Oh, yes.
Never when acting. That was never fabulous. When acting. It was only when he was speaking naturally to someone he trusted or needed something from when he stuttered.
And in that, towards the beginning, when they were doing the interview with him and Brad Pitt, the set behind him was from Django Unchained.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, they used it for the same thing.
Yeah.
I will admit, I had to look up, because I saw Luke Perry's name at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I had to look it up after. I did not recognize him.
Oh, no. Oh, I saw, as soon as you walked in, I was like, is that Luke Perry?
Sure. Didn't recognize him.
And then I was like,
oh,
I know.
That's Luke Perry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Didn't recognize him at all.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, hey, that's...
He
is
was
that
also
Lena
in
Dunham?
Oz.
Hey, is that... Hey, is that... I know Tim...
I need to go back and watch Oz.
Tim Roth was in it, but he got cut. He doesn't... I believe he's in the final credits, but he got... Whatever little part he was in, he got cut.
I like Bruce Dern in his role, too. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like the scene with Bruce Lee. That was
so
funny.
What's the kerfuffle about the Bruce Lee
scene? We heard Bruce Lee kerfuffle, and me and Cable both perked up.
Yeah.
I know his daughter, people who knew him, were not happy with how he was portrayed.
It wasn't very flattering.
No, it was not.
About him just being this complete blowhard and just a stereotypical... Asian kung fu guy. I know his daughter was livid, and there were other people who knew him and said the same thing. That is all I knew about it.
I have to wonder though if Tarantino did some research on that. Tarantino knows his shit about a lot of shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but I was just reading through the goofs on IMDb.
Uh-huh.
There's some interesting, like, in one of the scenes, there's a Starbucks sign in the background. Starbucks wasn't found until 1971. The Playboy Mansion was not purchased by Hugh Hefner until 1971. And there's a whole scene there.
Yeah.
Just a other, like, anachronistic, like...
I did read that a lot of the signs that they asked some of the restaurants to put up, you know, for timeliness. Some of them wanted to keep them after the movie.
Oh yeah,
which I thought was cool.
I would bet.
The thing of it is like Southern California. There are parts of it that look that still look just like this movie. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
I really liked so much the movie. There's so much there.
Oh yeah, it's got so much.
Ugh. The entire scene at the ranch with all the girls
when Brad Pitt dropped off.
So that from when he gets there to when he leaves is my favorite sequence in the movie, other than the ending.
The entire
it's
movie.
It's really tense.
I was just going to say there was the tension that built up there I thought was awesome.
The entire movie has this sense of creeping dread about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you know the context of it.
You're basically just sitting waiting for it to happen.
Well, and it.
And if you don't.
It grows. I mean, it grows throughout. Then they start piecing together that these dudes are more intimately tied to it than even they should be. Mm-hmm. And like, then there's like all this weird creeping dread that like you'd expect to see in a Tarantino movie and you'd expect to see go incredibly horribly bad. Like him picking up the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I want to suck your dick. And he's like, how old are you?
Yeah, I didn't expect that. Right?
Yeah.
And it was so good.
Yeah.
Like it was such
so
a
good.
Every I think right there, that was the hint. That's the hint that I'm gonna fuck with you.
Yeah.
And the switch is coming. Like that's it. Because it's like any other Tarantino movie, any other dark period movie.
Oh yeah.
Would have been like
yeah.
You know, she wouldn't have asked.
Right.
It would have been just like, if I'm gonna give you a ride.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. What's also funny, another thing that Holden said was it was getting to the point where the Manson family was walking up the drive. And I think that it must have been about then because that's when it was shortly after that mom told me you said that. Holden's like, why is this movie rated R?
No.
Yeah, there really isn't.
It's like sure, there's quite a few F-bombs, but like there was graphic violence. And like, yeah, he beat the dude in the face, but
that's a PG-13 fight.
Oh yeah, there really is nothing. There's no
other
like,
than other
no
than
sex,
colorful language. There's nothing, and I was like, Mom, was this movie rated again? And she's like, R? I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. When's it gonna earn that? And she said, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, because
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it wasn't until the end.
Oh yeah.
But then it earned it.
That entire sequence of him just bashing her face in on all those different surfaces, I understand the utter rage behind
that.
Each
that was
blow
the cringing
now.
Part for me.
Oh
like,
yeah,
I don't even know if that I was keep. Rough. I don't know if I keep my eyes open.
And the dog biting him in the dick. Oh my god! I had to cross my legs. Like, oh no.
Yeah, it was rough. But then there was a lot of little things that just felt very real. Like when the two of them are together and they're like, hey, you want to watch my FBI episode?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I thought I figured that's what we were going to do tonight. And it's like, you could tell.
Let's order a pizza.
You could tell that is not what he intended on doing that night. But he's like, all right, yeah, that's what we're going to do tonight. And it's like, you need a friend.
Bros being bros.
No, it was Brad Pitt taking care of this guy who needed taking care of.
Which is like what he did
that's
throughout
like he
the
did.
Movie.
Yep. He just took care of him. He was a caregiver.
Yeah. He drove him around because he, you know, he'd lost his license for drunk driving. But made sure everyone knew that he was just, you know, chauffeuring him because his car was in the shop.
Yep.
Yeah, Brad Pitt took care of him the whole time, which is why when he came back or... Was it after they came back from Italy or right before when – I think it was after they came back from Italy when DiCaprio was basically telling him, you know, I've got the wife now and
– Yeah, that was
– I think that was just
that
before.
Hurt.
It was just before they came back. He's like, when we get back, things are going to be different. But it hurt, but it's like it's not exactly untrue.
It wasn't – no, it wasn't – it wasn't mean. No. But it was like, man, these two have been
and you could
so
you could really tell more chops to DiCaprio here. You could really tell he didn't want to be telling Cliff that because he really likes Cliff and he doesn't want to see him go. Like, he really, like, that hurt.
Well, I think he also needs him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, I don't even know if it's so much that it hurts. It's just that he, that's his crutch. It's going to be gone. But what I was getting to was the, in that scene when they're watching the TV show and they're just talking about the way it's being made.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like, oh.
Oh, I can relate to that.
That guy's an asshole. Oh, I really like that guy. He's a good guy. Oh, is that the PHC? Yeah. I think it's out by such and such. And like, just talking about where they're driving, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, this is out by such and such. And
theater kid who watches musicals with friends a lot, I relate to that hardcore. Because that's the exact way we talk about things. Like, if we watch a production from 2-3 years ago, we're like, oh yeah, remember her? She was such a bitch. Or remember this guy? Oh, he was a really good guy, but he did this one thing and it was really weird. And like, you'll talk about everything besides what you're watching. And it's great because it was just like, that's a really, really nice touch.
Yep.
I love that.
Yeah, it was really good. Are you looking at something up?
I was just looking at like trivia.
Okay.
On it.
Anything interesting?
Margot Robbie wears some of Sharon Tate's real jewelry.
That's right.
Wow.
She her sister gives it to
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Who gave it to her.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
Isn't it?
That's you know what I really love?
It's just so her sad. Dirty feet.
Julie commented on that.
Oh, good
after,
Lord.
After the girl was sitting in the car and putting them up against the glass.
Yeah.
She's like, what is this Tarantino, about all the dirty feet?
Tarantino's got a foot thing.
But Margot's feet were so dirty.
They're so dirty.
No, when I saw that and I saw the girl's dirty feet, I'm like, oh my God. Am I right on this whole, is Margot Robbie going to be like, back to the whole mixing up everything thing. I thought Margot Robbie was going to be like brought into this cult thing and then she was going to go die and then all together with a bunch of girls. And then when I saw she was pregnant, I thought Charlie did that to her. I was like, oh my God.
It's a really interesting spin and not knowing the history.
I think Tarantino knew what he was doing and knew all the setups he was putting in for the people who had no idea what they were watching to just throw them off. Because there's too much there that makes too much sense that if you didn't know what you were watching, the ending still doesn't make sense, but the rest of the movie does.
I think Tarantino kind of relies on the fact that he expects his audience to be of a certain age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's relating to people who probably saw his movies when they were age appropriate to see the movies as they came out.
Yeah.
Or close enough to it that they'd have a little more context for it. I mean, I honestly think someone your age isn't the audience for this.
No. Like, your average kid isn't going to know this shit about, like, mm-hmm. There's just no reason that you would.
Right.
Because I feel like even for me, like, I don't remember, I was just into weird shit. And so, like, you know, I love true crime and I always did, even when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So, like,
and see,
but I don't know any other kids who did.
When I was a kid, my aunt used to have this book upstairs. They lived upstairs from us. I read it cover to cover like a million times. It was called Infamous Murderers. loved that book. I don't even know why. But I think this was pre Tate LaBianca murders.
Mm. Yeah, see, those were pre me. Because I was born in 71, so those happened before I was around.
I was three, so even though I was alive at the time, I was three.
And see, for me, my connection to being aware of, thanks for being part of the show, bud.
Hi.
My connection to, to being aware of the Manson murders was because... and I don't know the timeline of the court stuff,
mm-hmm.
but there was a lot of Manson family stories
mm-hmm.
in the mid to late 70s.
When?
And I think it was, I think that might have been courtroom stuff.
Uh-huh. When was sure. the movie?
But
when
also Helter Skelter yes. would have been about that time.
Yep.
And when the movie came out, the book and the movie came out, then all that stuff got spun up again.
I was reading an article today about the whole, you know, the alternate timeline that he creates in this movie, and like what could that have meant? You know, would she have become a famous actress? Would all the shit that Polanski did, would that never have happened? They might not have remained. I know, it was really so interesting. And then the LaBianca murders the next day, those probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So what I really thought was cool was how Tarantino played with putting people into vintage footage,
mm-hmm.
and then didn't. Like when he was talking, the one guy was talking to Rick about being, was it in The Great Escape? Did he have a Queens role in the Great Escape?
A fabulous scene.
Where they put, like, they had footage from the movie and they had him reading the lines and he's like, yeah, I was never up for that movie. Like, and they had him in the movie.
That was
like, he
so
was
good.
Imagining himself how great he would have been in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they showed Sharon Tate, when they showed Margot Robbie as Sharon Tate watching the movie, that was uncut. That was the movie.
Yeah,
and that was actually Sharon Tate. I thought that was really cool. That was a really nice homage and a nice way to honor Sharon Tate. I guess.
Yeah, because you think of how lovingly she's watching that movie and thinking about like how that's Margot Robbie doing that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a beautiful
It really
moment.
Is cool. It's really, really neat.
Well, I know, I can't remember her name, but Sharon Tate's sister, Tarantino, like, talked to her a lot, told her what he was doing with the movie,
mm-hmm.
which is why she let Margot, you know, wear her sister's jewelry and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it. I liked how they did all of mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It's still kind of like, just thinking about the ending, I still get this like little ping in my heart.
Well, I also like things like when they show up at the Playboy Mansion
mm-hmm.
and they say, here are these three people. And it was Steve McQueen, Michelle Phillips, and
Mama
Cass. Abigail Folger.
They don't say Mama Cass. They never say it.
You're right.
Michelle Phillips walks up to her and gives her a big hug. And it's like, that's Mama Cass. He shorthanded it. And I'm sure there are more people in there that look mm-hmm. like other famous people that I just didn't catch. But it was just like,
yeah.
He only told us the names of three people. Everybody else was just, you got to fill in the blanks.
And
they did the same thing with Charlie.
Yeah.
Charles Manson.
Yep. Yeah.
Because afterwards, Shay was like, "What? Why didn't they ever show Charles Manson?" I was like, They did. But they don't call it out because
no, just when he went to the house, looking for
whoever used to live there.
Well, I know Dennis is Dennis Wilson.
Yeah,
because he actually was somewhat friends with Manson because Manson wanted to be a musician.
That right? Yeah, I knew that.
Terry, I forget what
Terry's house.
Yeah. Terry's girlfriend in that house, you know, when Terry lived there, Candy,
mm-hmm.
Candace Bergen.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I know.
Wow. That's crazy.
So interesting.
Oh, I was looking up the timeline for, in the mid to late 70s, there was still a lot of like judicial things happening around them because one of them had to be retried like three times. I know that at some point in the 70s, California did away with the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So that retroactively changed Charles Manson's sentence to life because he was originally sentenced to death.
Right.
Even though now they have the death penalty, but they can't like re-go back.
Yeah.
So he.
Yeah. Well, and he's dead
got,
now.
Yeah. He so. Got life in prison.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I've told this story before. I knew one of the EMTs who, drove Manson to the hospital when he died.
You did mention that, yeah.
He added me on Snapchat or something when I used to draw Snapchat stories. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I just had this, like, you'll never believe like who I just had in my ambulance.
Wow. Because
he knew that I like weird shit.
Yeah, that's
I was
crazy.
Like, that's wild.
And the guy they got to play Manson looked an incredible mm-hmm. amount like him, mm-hmm. like a whole lot like him.
Who do they have playing Tex? That's somebody I should know, right? Like, I feel like
he looked vaguely familiar, but
maybe it's not who I think it was. Maybe it just looks like. No, it said Austin Butler. Yeah, I didn't. That's not who I thought it was.
Well, we just got a $125 donation to Sausage Fest.
Hoodoo!
Hooray!
Squeaky Frome.
Squeaky Frome. Yep.
What percentage are we at?
I don't know. I have to add that one. I don't have anything set up to do with that automatically. I have to manually add it. But I can do that now. It's should be over 70% at this point. Approaching 75.
Pussycat is the name of the character in the movie. Is that supposed to be Sadie?
I don't know.
Isn't that the name she gave him?
Was there someone there called Peppermint, or am I just making that one up?
I don't remember Peppermint.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Might have been Pussycat I'm thinking of.
Pussycat is the little brunette.
We love Pussy here. Yes, we do. He had some really great lines. Don't cry in front of the Mexicans. God,
oh my God.
Every time that cracks me up. Every time I think about that line.
I loved the scene when they're talking about how his wife died.
Yeah.
Toni Collette. I'm like, look, it's that one. Look, it's that one.
And I like how they cut away and just left mm-hmm. the implied what was going on. And he is aiming that harpoon gun right at her.
Yes.
And in that moment, you're like, yeah, shoot her.
Yeah, I would have.
Make that happen.
And the Australian woman who was Kurt Russell's wife.
Yes.
Was Uma Thurman's stunt double in Kill Bill.
Cool. Yeah, I liked, at one point, they say, there's a voiceover. And I can't remember, it was right toward the beginning. And there's a voiceover going, talking about how something's going to go really bad or mm-hmm. something. I was like, that's Kurt Russell. I hear Kurt Russell's voice. Julie's like, what are you talking about? Like, that was Kurt Russell.
And behold, Kurt Russell.
I was not wrong. We are at 1265.
Nice.
And let's get back to the main site. See what the... Come on.
Excuse me.
Here we go. We are at 74%.
Cool.
Sweet. This was a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that we got to... I'd been wanting to see it, and I'm glad you suggested it, which forced us to actually get out and see it.
Right.
And then I'm glad that it actually came back, because like, it left our premium theater. And like then last week, the only place I could have gone to see it was Edwardsville. Like, I'm not driving to Edwardsville to see it. Plus, also, it was also in the middle of all my...
Yeah,
trivia night shit, and I'm like,
I saw it in Edwardsville, but it was the last week. It was like I saw it on Saturday or Sunday, and it was only showing once a day.
Yeah,
and it played like through Wednesday, and then it was gone.
Yep.
So I'm glad I saw it.
It's at the 10 here in Fairview Heights.
Yeah.
So like on Tuesdays, those are $2 movies, and if you.
I've got to do that.
Buy four tickets through Warenberg and you're part of the Fandango VIP
mm-hmm.
thing. Every four tickets you buy, you get 500 points, which is $5 off. Oh,
sweet.
So for three tickets, we paid $1.
That does not suck.
Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
I don't have a whole lot more that's coming to mind. Tarantino absolutely loves this era of Hollywood. I mean, it's just dripping all over the screen.
Yeah, he said, it said in the trivia that Tarantino said this was his love letter to LA.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely see that, yep.
I really liked how they were... They didn't dress up the houses that Tate and Polanski lived in, mm-hmm. or these guys lived in. These were shitty little 40s and 50s houses that rich people owned.
Yeah, they were nice for the era. In the hills.
But they weren't mansions. These were just a nice area to live in.
Yep.
But they weren't like palatial mansions or anything like that.
Yeah.
I did like that. That like they he kept that true.
And that lends itself to the characters, right? Because they're like actors, but they're not super well known. They're like struggling. Like Sharon Tate goes to see her own movie and doesn't get recognized.
Right.
Like, so
I was in Valley of the Dolls, not Patty Duke. Nice. Oh, she was not Patty Duke.
I liked, was that Pacino?
Yes.
Yeah. Pacino.
Schwartz.
Schwartz, not Schwartz. Schwartz.
Schwartz.
He was really good and like very sedate for Pacino. Normally, like in the last couple of years, he's just been so over the top in his performances and in the way he acts. But he wasn't chewing on the scenery quite as hard as he normally does.
I honestly don't think there was... I can't think of anything I didn't like in the movie.
Yeah.
I was a little concerned that Cliff was going to die.
I thought he had. Like, because I didn't... I was confused by what happened when the gun went off.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he got shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Didn't he?
I thought he got shot in the forehead.
Oh, yeah. So, he gets stabbed.
He got stabbed in the hip. The
stabbed in the hip, yep.
Damn,
he was good.
That was just so funny that it's such a different experience.
For Holden.
For some, yeah.
That, you know what? I'm glad that he was here to talk about that. Because I really never... Since I know, you guys know, I really don't expect someone to be there not knowing what that history is.
Right.
So just basically sitting through this movie, not knowing what's going to happen. And then at the end, like, but why?
But what? Also, until the last 15 minutes of the movie, I thought we were going to get the murders.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I thought...
I was like, where could this possibly be going except... for the murders. And then I was trying to think.
Yeah.
I was like, do I not remember these people from the Manson murders? Like, did they kill the neighbors too? I don't remember that.
Julie thought there was murders in another house down the hill.
But there are the next night.
Those are the LaBianca murders.
But I was also kind of, because I was kind of mixing that up too. I was like, I know that somebody else got murdered, like, in another location. Was it the neighbors?
And I think, I don't know if it was the LaBianca or if it was another random guy. There was one set of murders or what have you from the Manson family that was completely random. Basically, Manson just told them, go kill somebody.
Yeah.
They were... Tate, they were chosen because they were in that house.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, stupid, but...
Well, and see, and Julie also thought that there were more of them.
Family members murders. Or murders?
The murderers. I think there's
murderers.
There was four.
There were four.
Yeah.
Yep. Which, there were three, because the one took off.
Yeah. Who was that? Was that Squeaky? I think that was Squeaky.
Susan
Atkins?
Atkins?
Yeah, I think she's the one who took off.
Was it?
I thought Squeaky was still in the house, but I
don't. Oh, yeah, I think you're right. I think Squeaky is the, like, really wild one.
Yeah.
What?
Well, Squeaky's the redhead.
It could have been...
When he goes to the house because I want to see Harry.
I was trying to look up to see, like, who exactly those people matched up with.
Yeah.
I think it could have been Kasabian.
Linda Kasabian?
Yeah.
I thought the redhead was Squeaky.
Maybe.
But that's another scene that I was really nervous about when he's like, I really want to go see Harry. I want to see how he's doing.
Is Squeaky he's sleeping. Dakota Fanning? I mean, that's who... Dakota Fanning played Squeaky, but is that who you're thinking
yeah,
of?
But I honestly never recognized her in the movie.
Me neither.
Never recognized her.
Hang on a second. I recognized...
I don't remember
one
the
of the other
of the
girls.
Lena Dunham.
She
was at the ranch.
Yeah, she was at the ranch.
We were wondering if that was her. I've never watched her in anything.
Sadie was like Mikey Madison, but I don't remember.
It took me forever. Margaret
Qualley.
I'm like, I know her. I know her. Who is she? Because I know that name. I'm like, Qualley. She's Annie McDowell's daughter.
The problem is, like, there's this whole
Is that the one that he was driving?
Yeah.
Oh, that totally makes sense that she's Annie McDowell's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I kept looking at her thinking, I know her.
Look at that hair.
Why do I know her?
Yes.
And that's why. She looks just like her
mom.
She
let her pit hair grow.
Yeah. For the
movie. No pit merkin.
The problem is there's this whole section in the cast that is members of the family that are on the ranch, and they could just be made up names. The only one I recognize is Sadie, but I still can't place them, who the people in the car were, yeah, other than Tex, and Pussycat wasn't in the car.
No.
Yeah, so it had to be Sadie, Tex, obviously, Squeaky, and
Susan.
Well, I think, isn't Sadie Susan's nickname? Susan Atkins?
Well, I don't know.
Because it doesn't really say.
Okay, so Mikey Madison is Sadie, and she's the brunette, the real dark-haired one. Because I know her from Better Things, the TV show Better Things.
Mm-hmm. Let me see.
And I just had up Wikipedia for... Hang on a second. Sadie... It must have been Susan Atkins, because there's no...
She has to be one of them. Because she's like one of the biggest players in the Manson story.
Well, the four that were there were Tex, Susan Atkins, Patricia Krenwinkel, and Linda Kasabian.
Okay.
Those are the four that did the murdering.
Yeah, Susan Atkins is the really wild, dark brunette one we need to kill the people who taught us to kill. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Susan Atkins is Sadie. Like, Sadie was one of her other names. Sadie Mae Glutz. I don't know.
Hmm.
Her children, Zizozoze Zadfrak Glutz.
Okay, then. Wow.
She was married until she died in prison from 1987 to 2009.
Hmm.
Great, she gets married.
I know. I always think about this, like, all these, like, people on death row, like, convicted murderers. Like, fucking Steve Avery has just, like, women lining up for him. I don't know if you know who that is.
No.
He's the star of Making a Murderer.
Oh, yes. You know what's weird? I worked with a guy in Tampa who looks exactly like him. And every time I would see that ad, I was like, John, no.
John, no.
No, John, no. Maybe I've missed my calling. Maybe I did have a dream that I murdered my parents last night.
Well, there you go.
It was so disturbing. They weren't actually my parents. They were people who lived down the street when I was growing up, but in my dream, they were my parents. And first I attempted to kill them and only managed to injure my mom, and then I chickened out. And then I went back later and, like, killed both.
Wow.
Sounds like it's their fault. They didn't do it, I mean...
practically asking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Attempted murder once, shame on you. Actually murdering me the second time, shame on me.
Yeah, exactly. But when my alarm went off, because I was going to go to work early, my alarm went off, and I was still, like, in the throes of the dream, and I was so disturbed that I was like, fuck it, I'm going back to sleep for an hour and a half. I'll go to work on time. I need to hopefully cleanse my mind of this, because it would just have ruined my day. Now I'm perfectly fine with my murderous streak. I've never dreamt that I murdered anyone before. I don't know if that means anything. If anyone's listening and understands dream interpretation, drop us a line.
I've had a lot of weird dreams.
I've had lots of bizarre ones. Really, really weird. But never have I killed anyone. And in my dream, I could, like... I saw myself, like, I saw the action of me killing them. It was so weird.
Yeah.
I know.
So how'd you do it?
I slit their throats with a butter knife.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
That takes some effort.
Exactly. Why do you think I was so disturbed when I woke up? Wasn't like I shot them. That would have been like, clean, easy, we're good. I wake up, I have coffee, it's all right. I have no idea what is going on in my life that this cropped up in my head. Whew.
Yeah. It takes a lot of effort.
Yeah. A butter knife. But when I, like, in that point in the dream, I was very scared and upset and crying, like, hysterically. So I think that absolves me.
Whatever you need to tell yourself to sleep at night.
We'll see. I'll tell you what tomorrow's dream is. My apologies to the neighbors down the street whom I dearly love. Sorry I killed you in my dream. Because they're actually still alive. But sincerely doubt they're listening to this.
You don't know. You know they're not listening.
Yeah, I know.
Gary Hinman? Is that who you're thinking of that was the random murder?
I don't.
The first, yeah, Gary Hinman, the first Manson family murder victim. Yeah, Gary Hinman is the, he's the owner of the ranch, isn't he?
No, it was Harry Spahn.
Was it?
Because it was Spahn Ranch.
It was the Spahn movie ranch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was Gary the one who was just sitting in the car?
What? What do you mean sitting in the car?
I'm trying to think of the actual historical. Because one thing I read about the murders is that, like, the gardener for where, you know, Tate's house, the gardener didn't show up that day. Mm. So would that have changed things because another car would have been there? I don't know.
Yeah. Gary Hinman was just some dude that, like, let them stay in his house while they were setting up Spahn Ranch. Yeah, that's right. And then Manson told one of his followers to kill him, even though he was his friend. But yeah. Yeah, I was trying to remember because I remembered they had killed some other person that was like not related to, they weren't like rich or famous, but I couldn't remember if it was the owner of Spahn Ranch or someone else. So
I was totally expecting Brad Pitt to go into that bedroom and find like a corpse.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the next fucking bait and switch they do, because they completely set that up for that dude to be fucking dead.
Yeah.
Right. He is not. And it's like his character and is so
everything
hilarious.
She said was right.
Yeah. That was like, what? Oh.
I was just waiting for him to confirm that, yeah, she fucks me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
we're going to watch FBI and she gets pissed off if I fall asleep.
Yeah, she fucking gets mad.
Well, why don't you do that? I don't want to piss her off because I kind of like her.
Hey, Rocky. That's his name, right?
Shamrock. Yep. We call him Rocky.
Hey, Rocky. Has the dog been outside this whole time?
Yeah. It's beautiful out. He's fine.
No, I was just wondering. I was like, I haven't seen him.
Probably. Normally, he stands like right on the stairs.
Oh, uh-huh. Just stares in, waiting for you to notice.
No, he stands on the stairs looking out.
Oh, okay.
So he can watch the yard from up high.
Aw.
This is DiCaprio's first film in 4 years.
Wow.
Since The Revenant.
I didn't see that.
I saw part of it. It's okay.
Mama Cass. She's credited in the...
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know who that is, unfortunately.
Have you heard of the Mamas and the Papas?
Oh, yeah.
She's one of the Mamas.
She's one of the Mamas. There you go.
Mama Cass Elliott.
There's Panda. Panda.
But yeah, great movie. I loved it. Enjoyed it. It was beautiful.
It was better than Cats.
I'll be damned.
What?
So on Sunday night, Rick and Cliff sit down to watch Rick's episode of the FBI. The audience is later told that the episode is All the Streets Are Silent, 1965. That's the real episode. That is a real episode of the television show. And the ensuing clip is the actual opening to that episode with one important difference. Rick Dalton has been edited into the place of the guest star villain Michael Murtaugh. In reality, the role of Murtaugh in the episode was played by Burt Reynolds.
That's awesome!
likely explaining why Rick and Cliff refer to the gum chewing as strong.
Yeah! That's really good.
That's fantastic. Whoa. In the movie, they showed James Stacy leaving the set of Lancer on his motorcycle. On September 27th, 1973, Stacy was taking his girlfriend, Claire Cox, for a ride on his motorcycle in the Hollywood Hills when a drunk driver struck them. She died and he lost his left arm and leg.
Holy shit.
See, it's things like that that Tarantino shows him leaving, and that's the last time we see him in the movie, leaving on a motorcycle. It's like... kind of wonder how much research he did into like Bruce Lee, you know?
Yeah.
Like it kind of
like stories about
people
working with him.
But the thing is you'll never get a real picture of him at this point, because at the time, studios for a big name actor, they just fucking buried any kind of bad stories about him. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, they did the, what do they call it? The catch and kill. They caught and killed stories all the time mm-hmm. in Hollywood. And that's a thing from the 20s all the way through. I think that's all I got.
Crickets, crickets, crickets.
Yeah. Now, literally, if we turn the volume up loud,
I know, I can kind of hear them out there.
All right, yeah, well, good stuff. We will have an episode at some point later.
Nice.
Yep.
Someday.
Good stuff.
We will talk about what happened at Sausage Fest in Archon.
Whatever we can remember.
Or, gonna be a good one.
Or that the morality clause will allow us to speak about.
So true.
All right.
All right.
Night, y'all.
See ya.